Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. Please tune again each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a television program that airs right after this broadcast entitled Searching the Scriptures. It's on public access channel number 6 on your television from 8 a.m. to 8:30. Please give it a view and let us know what you think. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these MP3 files of our radio programs. You'll also find our TV programs out there under a special study tab, under Bible videos, and a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. We also want to give you an opportunity at the end of this broadcast to come and worship and study God's Word with us at our regular times of Bible study periods and worship. We'll give you those times at the end of this broadcast, and we want you to know that you're always warmly welcomed, and we will always warmly receive you. We want nothing from you. Just come with an open Bible and an open mind and worship and study God's Word with us, and let us show you the need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. For the past few months, we have been examining the book of 1 Peter. We are in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, and we are talking about the subject of stranger and pilgrims. We want to again read our text, and then we want to begin looking at the second part of this lesson, and that is our behavior. It begins in verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. And so we want to continue looking at this thought of stranger and pilgrims. Today we want to focus on our behavior, the behavior that can war against our soul. Now in this text he begins with a very tender admonition. Beloved, Peter addresses the brethren in tender terms, recognizing them as beloved and dear to him. He beseeches them. This the apostle appeals to them in either in a sense to plea or to encourage them, or in some sense to exhort them, to urge them to live in a particular type of way. He says he calls upon them to abstain. He calls on them to abstain, or literally to hold themselves away from fleshly lust. They must hold themselves away from this. Now, let us give you a couple passages that can help you understand the meaning of this word. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 3. It says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. And then we read in chapter 5, verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. And so, ladies and gentlemen, there are things that God wants us to, He wants us to abstain from. He wants us to not participate in, that they cannot be part of our character. They cannot be part of our actions. There are things that are contrary to God's will. There are things that are counterproductive to what God put us here, and that is to influence and guide people to live for God. And there are things in this world that cause people to live for the devil, cause people to live in a way that is unacceptable to God and is sinful. And this is further defined by fleshly lust. Desires that arise within the flesh that violate God's will and the purpose for man are called fleshly lust, from which a Christian must withhold himself. Now, let's read a passage in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And this is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. but he who does the will of God abides forever. Now notice in this text that we are not to love the world. Now again, he's not talking about the planet. He's not talking about the earth itself or the universe. He's talking about the ways of the world. We're not to love the world. We're not the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. These are the avenues of sin. All sin travels down one of these three paths. And we must abstain. We must avoid those temptations and those snares that the devil places in our way. And we must abstain and withhold ourselves from practicing things that the world may find acceptable, but God calls them sinful. That's why he says that we are not to love those. We are not to have an affection for those things. Innocent lust, all flesh and lust do not violate God's will. Desire for food, that doesn't exemplify, that doesn't destroy God's will in your life. Read 1 Timothy 4, 3 through 5. They should be accepted with thanksgiving. Legitimate fulfillment. Other fleshly lusts are only simple when they are fulfilled in an unlawful way. Sexual fulfillment, sexual desire within the man and the woman is something that God placed in his creation when he created them. But he gave a place where those desires could be fulfilled. Let us notice Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28, statements made by the Lord himself, where he said, "You have heard it from old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 4, the Bible says that marriage is honorable among all and the bed's undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. You see, God gave man sexual desire. He gave that to men. He gave that to women. And he gave a relationship and he gave a place where those things could be lawfully fulfilled and not violate his law and not constitute sin. That place is marriage. Any person who tries to satisfy those desires outside of marriage, whether it would be in premarital sex, whether it would be in an adulterous relationship, whether it would be in an immoral relationship like homosexuality or lesbianism, or with an animal, or with someone other than his spouse, any time that those desires are done and try to be expressed and try to be fulfilled outside of the marriage relationship, God says it is sin. It is something that we must avoid. And this is the flesh versus the spirit. It shows the conflict between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit that we read in Galatians 5, beginning in 19 through verse 23. It's a war that's going on between the flesh and the spirit. And it goes on every day. And both are trying to gain supremacy in our life. Whoever gains supremacy in our life, whether it's our flesh or our inner person, that is the one that's going to guide our actions. Which is it for you, dear friend? What guides your action in life? Is it the desire of the flesh? Is it the desire to live according to the standards of the world? Or are you striving to live by the standards of God? Are you striving to limit yourself to follow God's plan and God's instructions in your life in order that it does not lead you into sin? Well, you make that decision. I make that decision. But this battle that Romans chapter 7 talks about between the flesh and the spirit, it wages every day. And somebody is seeking to gain supremacy. And the one that we feed, the one that we allow to lead, whether it's our flesh or whether we allow the spirit, whichever one it is the one that will lead us into things that are righteous, or it will lead us into things that will destroy us. And so fleshly lust must be avoided. As strangers and pilgrims in this world, we can't live like the world. We can't act like the world. We can't activate our desires, and we can't fulfill our desires like the world does. We can't do that and please God, because that is constituted as being sinful. War against the soul. Christians must not ignore the reality that a serious war is being waged against their soul. A war to capture their minds and their thinking, therefore to corral their actions. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, in verse 3 through 5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and everything, high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." We need to understand that this war is real. It's being fought every day. Satan is trying to get control of our actions, and he does that by getting control of our mind. The soul, often translated life, is used in some contexts, as here, to denote the inner life, the being of man that no man can kill, but only God can destroy in hell. Read Matthew 10:28. Satan, as the prince and god of this world, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour, according to 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. As he's asked God for Job and Jesus for the disciples, so he seeks us today in order to destroy us and bring us to naught. We are soldiers of Christ. Soldiers of Christ must carefully plan their battle strategy so that they don't entangle themselves in the things of the world and are prepared to fight the good fight of faith that we read about in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. But 2 Timothy 2 verse 4 says, "No one engages in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who's enlisted him as a soldier." We're in the army of God. We are to follow his direction. We are to follow his orders, and we are not to allow the world to dictate to us how we're going to live our lives. But that's exactly what the world is trying to do every day. It's trying to influence us. It's trying to affect us. It's trying to change our thinking. It's trying to change our standards. It's trying to change our values. And this battle is an ongoing battle. And Satan is battling to get supremacy of your soul. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your relationship with God. He wants you to depend on yourself more than you trust God. He wants you to live by the standards of the world and not by the standards of God. He wants you to give in to temptation. He wants you to give in to lust. He wants you to give in and try to satisfy those things by the world's standards, by things that are appropriated in temptations and snares. And in order to get us to weaken our resolve and our faith, in order that we would falter and that we would fall and that we would become enamored with life and its things that it can produce and tempt us with, that we forget about our relationship with God and our duty to God. And so as we conclude this morning, and we will conclude this lesson next week, this part of the lesson, but we want you to understand that this battle between Satan, between our flesh and our spirit, is real. It's not imaginary. And you're going to have to conduct yourself, and you can't be a pacifist in this fight. You're going to have to stand your ground. You're going to have to say no. You're going to have to not give in. And you're going to have to live your life by God's standards and not by the world. And that's why we're strangers and pilgrims here. We don't live by the standards of the world. We don't march to the beat of the world's drum. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk according to what God directs us to, in the direction that God wants us to go, and accordance with his will. Thank you for listening, and come and be with us today. We hope you have a very blessed day.